You want to stand with me this morning? We're going to turn to the book of Genesis. Book of Genesis. And I know that I'm in a position now standing between you and lunch. And so it's a dangerous place to be. I recognize that. Genesis chapter 7 and verse 15. I'm reading the ESV, the English Standard Version. It said, they went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. You can be seated this morning. I was reading through the account of Noah recently, and this portion of this story really caught my eye in a fresh and a new way. So I began looking back through it. And I really enjoyed this story because it kind of contains some parallel lessons for us. One, we see that Noah is a type of Christ. And we understand that Noah was commissioned to save weaker vessels that could not save themselves. And we understand that the ark and the process they underwent was a type of baptism, as we're going to talk about later on. But also the story of Noah, it really shows the practical side of God's plan, like the everyday side of what it means to live for God, the routine, the living your life realities of what it looks like to follow God's plan in a very literal sense. And I know that sometimes in our life, it can be difficult to connect what happens maybe on a Sunday in this sanctuary to how we live life on Monday. And, you know, in our house, as you can imagine, this idea of living out God's plan and what it means to follow God's will is a topic of important conversation and has been over the past weeks and even months. And so today I want to talk about the interconnectivity of those realities, the supernatural work of God, and then our role in that. And so my message title today is Safe in God's Plan. Does anybody want to be safe in God's plan today? Amen. And a tagline that I'm going to explain a little better. If I had a tagline to this message, it would be God shut me in. God shut me in. Today I want to speak about ensuring our eternal soul is safe and knowing what the Bible says, but also the practical plan. How do we live every day, and what does it mean to be safe in God's plan? How can we ensure that we are safe in God's plan? To rewind in the story of Noah, Genesis 6, when God is speaking to Noah, and Genesis 6:13, God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And then he goes on to give Noah instruction, make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits. Its breadth, 50 cubits. Its height, 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark. Finish it to a cubit above. Set the door of the ark on its side. Make it with lower, second, and third decks. For behold, I will bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which is the breath of life under heaven. Everything that is on this earth shall die. So God decides that the earth is wicked, but Noah was a righteous man and walked with God. So it's through Noah that God decides to save the earth. So we're going to look at this story of Noah and look at some things that being safe in God's plan requires. And the very first thing that I see that we understand about the story of Noah is that God's plan requires obedience. God's plan requires obedience. Now, this is a word that we cringe at in maybe our innermost being, even from an early age. I can tell you with a 6-year-old daughter in Sunday school right now, obedience is not her favorite word. Independence is probably one that she would like to embrace. And I would like to say that we mature, but in some ways we don't. We all struggle with obedience. What does it mean to be obedient? And, you know, make yourself an ark. You look at what literal obedience Noah had to adhere to. It's pretty incredible. There's no way that Noah could have truly understood the magnitude of what God was doing. I'm sure Noah had questions. I'm sure at times he doubted. The Bible doesn't specifically tell us how long it took Noah, but it does give us some clues. And just to show you really quick, you can read this for yourself. But in Genesis 5:32, it says that he fathered his sons after he was 500 years old. So that's kind of a marker in his life. He was 500 years old and he fathered sons. Then in Genesis 6:18, it says, I'll establish a covenant with you. Come into the ark, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. And then in Genesis 7:6, it says Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came upon the earth. So we have these markers. He was 500 when God spoke to him and dealt with him. And then in Genesis 6:18, he said, you're going to come into the ark with your sons and their wives. And then he was 600 when the floodwaters came. So 100 years. And we understand, if you just assume that his sons had to be old enough to be married to get in the ark. So let's say, I don't know, 25, 30, 40 years old. So at the very least, there's this 50-year span of, you know, when it could have taken him. So somewhere between, and you, I would love to talk about this. If you have an opinion, if you have a conspiracy theory, if you have some other thing, I would love to discuss it with you. But the idea is there's a 100-year span, right, that could be in this time. And so can you imagine what it would have been like to be obedient to one plan without ever seeing the results for over 50 years? No payoff. No indication to wake up and walk out to an empty sky and a dry ground and be obedient every day. Now, that's difficult. And the truth is, though, aren't we in a similar position? Amen. That we are living our world, our life revolves around the idea that I will never truly see the finished work of God on this earth. It's a tall order. But God's plan for your life requires a deep obedience. And we see it in the life of Noah in a very literal way. Can you just, again, just imagine with me the day after day toil, years of his life, years dedicated to this singular task. God gave Noah specific instructions and measurements to build the ark. It required obedience because Noah had never seen a flood like this. You know what else I've heard it said this way? God didn't give Noah plans to build a ship that would sail. Think about it. He gave him plans to build a boat that would float. This wasn't a pirate ship with sails and a way to control it. No, it was an ark to float. Can you imagine building something that he couldn't control? We don't like that either. I want to be able to steer it. I want to have some power over this thing. No. The ark was meant to float, not sail. What obedience. But you know what? Aren't we called to that same radical obedience? Lord, I'm going to build a life that is not my own, that I'm not made to control. I'm not supposed to control. It's going to be safe because it's the one that you told me to build. It's the way you instructed me to do it. So let me tell somebody today, living for God, God's plan for your life is going to require obedience through all seasons for years. And it's a wonderful thing because, again, the result of that obedience was salvation. Noah's obedience produce something. And the next thing it required hand in hand with obedience is work. You may say that seems obvious, but God's plan requires work. Now this can get tricky because, you know, I would broaden really this we in America and the American church, we like the idea that I don't have to work at all to do anything. I can just be saved, right? I can just say, God, I accept you as my savior, and then I can do whatever I want and be saved. That is the narrative that is pushed across pulpits, unfortunately. But nothing could be farther from the truth. Now, there is nothing that we can do to deserve God's salvation. We are very unworthy, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 64:6. We have all become like one who is unclean. All of our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment, like a filthy rags. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. So yes, there's nothing that I can do to merit my salvation. There's nothing I can do to be good enough to earn salvation. But that doesn't mean that I don't have a role to play. Why didn't God save Noah by angelic intervention? If Noah and his family were the only ones that were righteous, why didn't God just send an angel and pluck them off the earth and save them? Why didn't he just hide them in a cliff somewhere or get them one mountain that just barely stuck above the water and said, live here? No. God destined it that Noah would be saved, but he would have to put in a lot of work to be ready for God's plan. Amen. Think about it. Noah had to put in a lot of work. Now, again, our argument sometimes is in today's world, again, I say we, not my argument, I'm arguing the opposite, but the church today would say, oh, you're just saved by grace. That's it, right? Live the way you want. Look at James. He's got some pretty strong words for this in James chapter 2. Verse 14, what good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warm and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. These are not my words. This is scripture. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see, a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. I know it's a long passage of scripture, but what a strong word to us. And I would tag Noah right along in that story. Who saved Noah? God did, of course. But Noah had a job to do. Noah had to do something in this process. Noah had to respond to the saving word that went forth to say, you will be saved, but it's going to require some obedience from you, some work from you. I think he did it to show us something interesting about salvation. We cannot do it without God. But he will not do it without us. Think about it. We cannot do it without God, but he will not do it without us. You have a role to play to be obedient to God. Now again, we see a verse like John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Well, doesn't that mean I believe in Jesus? I'm good, right? Well, again, John 3:16 doesn't happen without John 3:3 or John 3:1. John 3:16 is happening in the context of a conversation. So let's rewind a little bit. When a religious leader comes to Jesus named Nicodemus, John 3:2, this man came to Jesus by night. He said, I paraphrase, we know you're a teacher from God. Nobody, the stuff you're doing, nobody can do it unless God is with you. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus says, what do you mean? How can a man enter into his mother's womb? Verse 5, Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So when we see John 3:16, it's in the context of if you believe in Jesus. To believe in Jesus means to believe what he teaches and to obey what he says. So you cannot separate saving faith from obedient living. To say I believe in Jesus means I forsake everything else and I will follow after and be obedient unto Jesus. So I'm saying today that Noah had to make a decision that I'm going to be obedient and I'm going to do the work that I've been commanded to do. And in the same way, we have that same thing. So I will echo Jesus today and say that if you want to enter the kingdom of God, you have to be born again of water and spirit. So somebody today, maybe today is your day. If you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, that is available for you today. And we want to baptize you in Jesus' name because that is the way that we enter into the body of Christ. Just like Noah was saved through the water, we will be saved through the water in baptism and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But it requires work. It does require work from us. Our works cannot save us, but you cannot have saving faith without works. We will be obedient to what God has told us to do. Genesis 6:18, again reading, God says to Noah, I will establish my covenant with you. You shall come into the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives, every living thing. And so we see that God's plan requires work. God's plan requires obedience. But in the context of those things, we understand that God's plan requires covenant, a covenant relationship. Because it's not about works alone. You have to have the covenant relationship. Because God said, I will establish my covenant with you. And so the covenant that God established with Noah was based upon his actions. And we understand the Old Testament. We see the old covenant, the covenant of sacrifice, and we see this throughout different times as people communicate and commune with the Lord in different ways, whether it's offering up a literal sacrifice or different things. But we understand that God requires covenant, and the Old Testament and with Noah, it was a literal covenant. But in order for Noah and his family to be saved and spared, they had to be in covenant with God. That required obedience. That required relationship. Obedience is when your heart is in it. And I would say, I talked to our worship team yesterday. There was a great fellowship at the Young's house. And I talked about this idea of compliance. Because complying is saying yes with your actions, but your heart says no. It's not enough. We're not supposed to just comply, just to do things because it's what we're supposed to do. But when you're in covenant, obedience comes from your heart into your actions. Covenant is when your actions flow from your heart. God wants to be in covenant with you. Again, we see in the Old Testament, this covenant is based on actions. It's merely a glimpse of the beautiful new covenant that Jesus offers. Hebrews 8 and 6 in the New Living Translation says, "But now Jesus, our high priest, has been given a ministry that is far superior to the old priesthood. For he is the one who mediates for us a far better covenant with God, based on better promises." God wants to be in covenant relationship with you today, in the same way that Noah and his family, being in covenant with God, saved them from a sure death. So being in covenant with God today will save us from anything that will to be to come. But we do have to be obedient. We do have to be in work. But we have to do all of those things in covenant. Romans 8, look at this. Romans 8, "Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh but according to the Spirit." Yes. Baptism brings us into covenant with God. So Noah, to be in covenant with God, had to obey what God said. And in the same way, we must be obedient. Now, what's wonderful, though, is that our covenant is not based just on works alone. Why? Because Jesus came and died. So he has now become our high priest. So the wonderful thing is, even if you've done a lot of things to mess up, you see, if Noah made mistakes, if he never did what he was supposed to do, then he would have never built an ark. And that's a difficult thing. But the truth is, even if you have spent years of your life doing the wrong things, today you can come into covenant with God because he has made a way for you. He died and he rose again. He said you can have new life even if you've squandered years of your life. That's okay. You can come into covenant today. Oh, aren't you thankful for that? Aren't you thankful we can live in covenant with God? Aren't you thankful that God's plan for our life is covenant with him? God, I'm so thankful, Lord. I want to be safe in your plan. I want to be in covenant with you, Lord. Now let's talk about a very practical thing. God's plan requires right priorities. It requires right priorities. Think about how long Noah had to stay on task in work that probably seemed monotonous. Again, looking up at a dry sky every day. It took a lot, I'm sure, to keep his priorities in order. And look at this verse, Genesis 6:14. "Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and out with pitch." Now, pitch being tar, essentially, right? And you can read this. You can read more about this. But this pitch was the thing that sealed the ark, that made it buoyant. But this is what I want you to observe. God does not tell him to paint it. He tells him to pitch it. And why do I think that's interesting for us? Because what I think the danger we face in our own life is that there are some things that God has commanded us to do to make sure that everything is in order. But the temptation is not to pitch these things, which is to make it safe because it's not beautiful. It's not desirous. It's not wonderful. What we want to do is we want to paint our lives to look the right way. But Noah was not commanded to paint the ark to make it pleasing to the eye. No, he said, make it safe. So what am I trying to say? It takes some right priorities today, because there are times in your life when it's not required for you to paint things in a way that just look perfect. No, God says, you know what? There's some things, they may not be beautiful, but this is the thing that is going to make your life prosperous. Observe, God does not tell them to paint it, but to pitch it. If God gives them a place to dwell, it's safe and warm and wholesome, and he should be thankful. It's not supposed to necessarily be magnificent or nice. This may seem like a small thing, but I added it simply to say that in our lives, we can never get so caught up in making our lives appear prosperous that we neglect the things that actually make our life prosperous. What am I talking about when I say prosperous? I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about your marriage. Husbands and wives, listen to me. Do not pursue earthly advancement to the detriment of your family. Do not pursue your career and leave your family in the dust. Do not spend all your time investing in entertainment, but yet don't spend your time with your family or in the house of God. Do not spend all of your money on our image and making things look the right way instead of investing money in the kingdom. You know what? What good is it if my life looks like it's all together when spiritually I'm in shambles? I'm trying to preach to somebody today and say, you know what? If you want to be safe in God's plan, you better make sure that your priorities are right. You better make sure that you're keeping first things first. It may not all be beautiful. It may not all be fun. It may not look good to everybody else, but there are some things to make your family safe. There are some things you've got to do to ensure that your family is secure. We've got to have right priorities. Maybe this tar wasn't pleasant, but it's what God desired, and it's what made this boat buoyant. What good is it if it looks the part but sinks in a storm? That's the danger we face today. Oh God, let us not spend so much time on things that only have earthly value that when we get tossed and put in a storm of this life, we don't have the tools, we're not ready, our life is not buoyant like a ship that's made to sail. We have to have right priorities. Noah had to have right priorities. Maybe it wasn't pleasant, but it's what God desired. God's plan requires, this is another one kind of like obedience, be difficult. God's plan requires submission. God's plan requires submission. And we don't like that one either. But if you look at this, we get into the flood, and the flood continued for 40 days on the earth. The waters increased. The waters prevailed. And the ark floated on the face of the waters. They prevailed so mightily on the earth that the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed on the earth 150 days. Imagine that. So again, in a very literal and specific sense, Noah and his family had to submit to the ark physically, to go into the ark to be saved. Now, can you imagine? Again, Noah was 600 years old. Can you imagine the life that he had built in 600 years? Just think about what kind of life you could build in 600 years and all the things he had. And yet to forsake all of that to get into this ark. But you know what? Sometimes we have such a earthly perspective, such a small perspective. Because I personally don't think that Noah and his family were in the ark saying, man, it's so cramped in here. Look at all the stuff we had to leave behind. This was so awful. I can't believe this. Maybe if we had a very, very limited earthly perspective, he could be a little upset. But you know what I think Noah was saying? You know what I think he was saying on the ark as the waters rose around them? I think he was saying, God, thank you. God, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for providing a way out. God, thank you for giving me this plan. I think that Noah didn't look at submission as confinement. I think he saw it in its truthful way. I think Noah looked at submission and said, God, I want to be submitted because it's through my submission that I can receive my salvation. So today, being submitted to God is not some jail cell for your life. No, being fully submitted to God is a way to say, Lord, if I want to be saved in this life, I've got to be submitted to your word. God, if you say it, I'm going to do it without question. God, if it's in your word, if it's clear in your word, we're going to follow it. We're going to be a church that's submitted to the word of God. There's nothing that's going to be in this word of God that we're not going to look at and say, God, what does this mean to us? I want to submit my life to your plan. I want to submit my life to your will. But God's plan requires submission. But if you don't view it the right way, if you're only looking at it from an earthly lens, then you may just look at what we see as biblical submission and think it's confinement. But the truth is, submission has seasons. You know, the ark was just a season. After they came out of the ark, They stepped into a new season. So yes, submission may look like different things throughout our life. But the truth is that Noah, his family had to submit to the ark. Rained for 40 days, floated for 150. And we have to submit. If we want to be safe in God's plan, we have to have a spirit, a posture of submission that says, God, if there's something you need me to do, if you want me to do something, God, I submit my life to it. I submit myself to it. I will obey it. I will follow after it. Why? Because I want to be saved. God, because I want to be safe in your plan. God, I want to be submitted to your word. I want to be submitted to your will. I've given you these things that we see from the story of Noah that are required to be safe in the plan of God. I'm sure I could bring many of you up here and you could find several more, a different angle. In fact, I want to encourage you, maybe read these couple of chapters of Genesis. Maybe there's some things you need to add to your list because you have a walk with God. Maybe some things you need to add on your list. You know what? When I look at Noah, here's some things that stand out to me that maybe I need to apply to my life. But some of these things I've seen work: obedience, covenant, right priorities, submission. There's one more thing, and it's the most important thing. We go back to our key text that I read at the beginning of this message today, and the reading that originally sparked my curiosity in a fresh way into the story, Genesis 7 and 15 and 16. They went into the ark with Noah, two and two of all flesh, in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. New Living Translation says, the Lord closed the door behind them. Noah spent years on this. Again, imagine, Noah dedicated his life to what God had told him to do, so much time. But at the end of the day, what was amazing about this, and I don't know the exact specifics, but I can just imagine that Noah has built this entire boat. It's got one door, but if left open, that door compromises the boat's ability to float. And so at the end of the day, can you imagine? He has got a boat with a door that doesn't shut unless God does it. And so the last thing, and this may seem like the most basic thing, but you can never forget, God's plan requires God. God's plan requires God. At the end of the day, after everything that Noah built, after all that Noah did, the Lord was the only one that could complete the work. God shut the door of the ark. Can you imagine building a boat that wouldn't float without God himself making it float? Noah worked, he planned, he built, but at the end of the day, it was God that closed the door. God was the only one that could save Noah and his family. God planned the ark, and today I'm telling you that God has planned for your salvation when he died on the cross. So yes, Noah could do all this work. Yes, Noah could take all this time, but at the end of the day, he had to put his faith in God and say, if you don't complete the work, this isn't going to happen. So you may be in a place today that you're a little fearful, you're a little scared, what's going to happen? But let me just tell somebody today that if you put your trust in God, if you're obedient to God, my God is going to come and he's going to complete the work. You can build everything you want to build, but it's God that shuts the door. So today, somebody, you can't plan it all on your own. If you do it by yourself, where is God? Today I'm saying that God's plan always requires God to do what only he can do. And for that, I'm so thankful. God, I'm so thankful that you step in at the right time and you do what I cannot do. God, I'm so thankful that you're an amazing God, that you're a loving Father, that you shut the door, that you perfect the work, that you complete the plan. The Lord shut them in. Noah and his family were saved through water and certain death. And you can be saved today through baptism and receiving God's Spirit living inside of you. Only God can do that. 1 Peter 3:18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the Spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison because they formerly did not obey God. When God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is eight persons were brought safely through water. Look at this. Baptism now corresponds to this, now saves you. Let me just pause and say, baptism is not just a nice profession of something that you should do or maybe think about doing. No, we understand. Just when I look at the story of Noah, they were saved in the ark through water. It says right here in 1 Peter, just like this baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not as a removal of dirt from your body. It's not just a bath, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven, is at the right hand of God with angels, authorities, and powers being subjected to him. So when you're baptized, you take on Jesus Christ because he was buried and rose again. You can be buried in the waters of baptism and rise a new person. That's what we see in the story of Noah, is only God can do the work. Only God can do that. God's plan requires God. This is incredible to me. Now, I cannot preach this message without telling you the other side of it. And we don't like to hear it preached, and it may not be considered correct today by our society. But the ark was a limited time offer. When the door was shut by God, yes, it saved Noah. Yes, God's plan required God. I'm so thankful. But also, when the door was shut by God, nobody else could come in. There will be a day when Jesus comes back. It makes this a parallel in Matthew 24, verse 36. But concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark, till the very day. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. So I have to also stand here today. One, I stand here today and I tell you what it takes to be safe in God's plan. But I also have to give a warning that if I am to take the Bible at its word, I have to stand here and say, you've got to get in the ark. You must be saved, because they were doing all these things until the very day. So today I have to stand here and declare to you, you must be baptized. You must be born again of water and spirit, or you will not enter the kingdom. And I don't know the day or the hour, and you don't know the day or the hour. But what I do know is that today is the day of salvation. Today you can come in. Today the door is open. Jesus is the door. They went into the door of the ark, but Jesus is the only door. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Will you stand with me today? Aren't you thankful today that we have a way out of our mistakes? I'm so thankful today. At the end of the day, we have to work. We have to be in covenant. We have to be obedient. We have to keep right priorities. We have to stay submitted. But God is the only one that can complete the work. Our works outside of obedience to God, our works cannot make us righteous. Our works alone cannot save us. But it's being obedient. Our faith is shown by our works. So today, I want to tell you, if you have never been baptized in Jesus' name, today is your day. Today is the day. Today is the day. You're standing in a room full of people who are not perfect, but we've taken on the name. We've taken on the name of Jesus. When he died on the cross, when he was buried, he rose again. He did that because he said, I have changed the covenant forever. You no longer just have to go through a series of steps. You can come to me. And out of that, yes, there will be things that you are obedient to. And that's where we get kind of messed up in our theology sometimes, is people say, well, Jesus died so I can just live the way I want. No, no, no. We're still called to be obedient to those things. Jesus came and he didn't just destroy the law. He fulfilled the law. It's now done through the aspect of relationship and covenant. So today I tell you, if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, if you've never received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's available for you today. In fact, I don't want to single anyone out, but if you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, and or if you want to speak to us about it, I want to invite you. Pastor John is going to be down here. If you want to just come down here, just make your way down here at some point in this altar appeal. Just speak to him. We have everything you need. We have clothes. We have everything. You don't have to get your clothes wet. Everything you possibly want, we can make easy of it, because today is the day. It's urgent. Why? Because no man knows. This is not a doom and gloom message. This is a message of hope. Because guess what? That ark, that when that door was closed, nobody else could enter in. But today, the door is open. Today, the door is open for you. So if you've never been baptized, today is your day. But for those of us, you have been baptized in his body. You have received his spirit. It's also a call to us to maybe being obedient. God, I need to get back to obedience. God, I need to continue to put in the work. I bet you there had to be a weekend that Noah took a weekend off and said, man, I'm tired. But you know what? Even the Bible doesn't say that Noah knew exactly. It wasn't like it was a countdown clock. Noah didn't know. I don't think Noah knew exactly the day. Obviously, God gave him the grace to complete it, but also imagine in the same way that Noah felt that pressure of, I've got to build this ark, I've got to build this ark. Now, it relied on Noah. Jesus has already done it. So instead of you saying, I've got to work for the next 50 years to be safe. No. That's the amazing thing. Jesus has done that. Your work is now to say, God, I'll be obedient. I'll come into your body. I'll be obedient to what I know. It doesn't take 50 years. You don't have to take 100 years. But for those of us that are in covenant relationship, maybe you need to get back to obedience. Maybe you need to get back to right priorities. Say, Lord, I've been painting the vessel, not been pitching it. There's some things that, you know, it looks good and people affirm it. You know what? No one's gonna go to a boat and be like, wow, this is a boat. This boat really floats. That's amazing. Wow. No, they're gonna say, look at the paint, look at the engines, right? But none of that stuff matters if it doesn't float. Same thing with your life. If you look to this world for affirmation, it will always affirm the things that you paint. But in the kingdom of God, I think he affirms the things that you pitch. God, I want to seal this. God, I want to seal this. Is there a leak in your marriage today? Is there a leak in your personal devotions? Guess what? I may not even see it. People, you talk to me, not even see it, but Noah wasn't commanded to paint the ark. I don't think it was beautiful to look at. I think it was in order, but it wasn't beautiful to look at. You know what it was? It was seaworthy. It was seaworthy. And today, I think with us, it's going to take a little bit of maintenance. So in just a moment, I'm going to open these altars, and I'm going to ask everyone, if you will, to find a place to pray, because all of us, we need to come back into obedience at times. We need to recommit ourselves to doing the work that we know to do. Some of us need to come back into covenant. Maybe you live in your life for God like a checklist. Oh, I'm just doing all the right stuff, doing all the right stuff, doing all the right stuff. That's just compliance, because what's going to happen is you might still be here physically, but you're going to begin to be spiritually absent. We can't just comply. You can't just comply. You've got to put your heart into it. Out of that will flow the right things. We have to have right priorities. And finally, just as Noah submitted to the ark, literally, he walked through those doors. And guess what? All 8 people had to submit for themselves. Noah provided the ark. Fathers, you can build a life. You can build the right things, but you can't make people get in. Everyone has to make your own decision today. Am I going to go through the door? Jesus is that door. Jesus is the only way. So this morning, I want to ask you that question. Are you willing to walk through the door, whatever that is, for obedience, covenant, priorities, submission? Again, if you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, I hope that the story of Noah is illuminating to you in a new and fresh way that it is urgent. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name. Everyone had to go into the ark for themselves. Noah couldn't get in for his sons. They had to come in. You've got to make your own decision today. And there was only one door. And I'm glad to stand here and tell you today that door is wide open for you. It's wide open for you. Amen. Would you mind closing your eyes where you are just for a moment? I want to pray over you, and I want to invite you to come. Lord, I pray for every single person in this room. Lord God, you see where they are in their walk with you. Lord, I pray if there's someone that they just need to get back to putting in the work, Lord, I pray that they would do it. If they need to be obedient to you, Lord, I pray we would be obedient. If someone, God, my priorities have gotten a little askew, God, I need to realign myself with your word. I pray we would do that today. And God, if someone has never been baptized in Jesus' name, I pray they would come find Pastor John this morning to be put in the water and brought up a new creation. Lord, I pray that would happen today in Jesus' name. At this time, would you come? Maybe you need to come with your family and say, you know what, we just need to make sure our priorities are in order. Would you come? Maybe your prayer needs to be, God, I just want to be obedient to you. Maybe your prayer is, God, I want to submit once again to you, because it takes maintenance.
Maybe you need to shore up some things. Whatever it is, would you pray today? If you want to stay right where you are, that's completely fine. But would you just pray? God, if I look at Noah, I see, God, there's some things I got to do. I can't save myself, but I can respond to what you've done. In the name of Jesus, can we all pray, church? God, I want to be saved. God, I want to follow after you. Yeah, that's it. God,